The weekend. The weekend is dead. It's the weekend. And it's all over now. It's the weekend. Weekend is dead. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's not the best theme song in the world, but I tried, right? I gave you something. Don't get mad at me. I was trying to do a theme song. I don't have a theme song. If anyone out there has a good theme song, it can't be commercial music. If someone's good at making loops on your computer or something, you got something that might be kind of awesome for a quick little theme on here, I'll be more than happy to play it. But today we're going to be talking a little bit about WWE Payback, but more importantly, we're going to be talking about why WWE simply won't be good again, at least not for a long time. We actually have a way to discuss that. And then, let's see, we're going to talk more Madballs. We got something else to talk about with Madballs. And some of you might think, like, hey, Madballs, it's time to move beyond Madballs. But there are other people that think no, and they want to continue the discussion. And they actually challenged me to play with the Kid Robot ones. So I actually have some Kid Robot Madballs we're going to throw into the mix this morning. And then we're going to talk about Masters of the Universe Loyal Subjects Series 2 from Target. We're going to do a little bit with that. So, that being said, thanks for watching, everybody. As always, I am your host, Dirt. And today on The Weekend is Dead, fun yet terrible, terrible stuff going on. I don't even know where to start. I guess the key thing is WWE Payback was last night. I don't even have my picture-in-picture open again. This is the second week in a row I opened up without my picture-in-picture. I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't think they can hear you, Philip. 40G is in the other room trying to make fun of me. But I don't think his voice is quite loud enough to reach in here. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Of course, I lost my folder. Oh, my gosh. This is the worst opening to the show. I mean, we had a great theme song to open up the show. I mean, you got to give me that. But as far as, where are these files? There it is. Oh, my gosh. This is what happens. Okay, so I used to have three monitors. I had three monitors all in a row, and I could throw all the stuff up and, you know, very easily lay out a whole bunch of stuff here. But then one of the monitors went bad. And I've got a monitor back there, but that's actually a separate computer running back there. And sometimes when there are shows running, I actually hop back on that computer and do work in the background while people are talking up here and the other stuff is on the screen. So I can't use that one, even though I would want to a lot of times. So not having the three monitors really makes it tough to get the things, you know, really where I want them all the time. And, okay, here we go. There's that picture in picture. And then we got to click on our source and we want desktop, app window, and no, wrong window. this is why you tune into this show. I mean, you could get good stimulating talk or you can get me fumbling around on the internet box here, and that's what I call the computer, the internet box, because I mean, really, let's face it, that's all it's really good for most of the time. All right, so here we're going to talk about WWE Payback. I'm going to say I didn't watch the show, and this is the first pay-per-view from WWE I have missed in months. Years, probably. I've missed a couple on the network over the years, just because stuff was going on and the show wasn't that good when you hear about it later, so I never really went back and watched them. But for the most part, I've been watching them all ever since the network came out, and even before then, I was generally finding places to watch them online, regardless of the legality of all that. But nonetheless, I didn't watch the show because I let my network subscription lapse. And we've talked about that on here. I don't need to get into all of that. But talking about some of the stuff, I've noticed a few things coming out of Payback. One is that Braun Strowman is a thing now. He's been allowed to show some personality. I remember on Raw, I want to say it was Raw 2 weeks ago when he came out. He opened the show. He either opened it or he opened maybe the second hour. I don't remember, but went out and just cut a promo about how he broke Roman Reigns. And, of course, the crowd cheered for him because they hate Roman Reigns. But it made me realize that there was more personality to him. Like, there is something more to Braun Strowman than the basic we've come to know about him. I don't know that his match was necessarily any good, but I can tell you, looking at, you know, what's come out on social media since then, that Braun is here to stay. The idea to push him has paid off, and so he is now a thing, and he's going to last. Hi, Kat. You don't need to meow right now because I'm doing a show. Now, as far as some of this other stuff, Jericho switching shows, I don't know that that's as big of a deal. Miz being on, here's, okay, Miz, there are a lot of people that want to defend the Miz nowadays. Maybe ever since that promo on Talking Smack, where he and Daniel Bryan got into a heated argument, and people said, wow, look at that passion and look at that desire, and that is amazing. And people started to rally around The Miz again. And he's had these moments before where people want to sing his praises undeservedly, and push for him being some sort of wonderful talent. I've never been a fan of the guy. I've never cared for the guy. I don't like him in the ring. I don't like him on the microphone. He's boring in everything he does, as far as I'm concerned. But here's the thing. Let's go back. The big thing about Miz, if you go back to that moment, everybody looks at that promo from Talking Smack, and they go, hey, you know, he showed a lot of intensity. He showed a lot of anger. He showed a lot of personality. It was everything they wanted in a promo from the guy. They thought it was fantastic, and they can't understand why anyone would still be against The Miz in this day and age. Well, if you think about that promo, what was the point of that promo? Like, what happened in that promo that was such a big deal? Well, first of all, it was a shoot. So it was not designed to sell a specific story, because if you think about it, what it really came down to was the idea of The Miz versus Daniel Bryan, which is a match that will never happen because Daniel Bryan's injured and WWE will never let him wrestle again, even though he desperately wants to. And should he get out of his WWE contract at some point in the future, he definitely wants to wrestle for another company. But it set up a feud between the two of them, which you couldn't get, would never happen. So, of course, they moved in Dolph Ziggler into this whole thing. But the thing you have to ask yourself is, what was that shoot? Like, what was the point of that conversation? And Daniel Bryan basically called out The Miz for being a terrible worker. He called him out for being boring and slow and wrestling safe matches. And The Miz's comeback was to say, but I'm not injured, and I'm here week after week after week. Now, to someone like me, I'm hearing that, and you're saying, okay, you don't go away for injury because you are such a boring wrestler that you've never gotten injured and missed time. Like, to me, that is not a defense of your abilities. That's an excuse for why you are boring and predictable and terrible in the ring. And Miz, the reason why Miz has gotten a push at all ever in the company was because he was on an MTV reality show before that. He was on Road Rules. So he was on MTV Road Rules. And so for WWE, he was a celebrity before, And WWE was able to capture and bring him in, which allowed them to formulate a star around him. If you go back to the early days of The Miz, when he first came in, and he was the SmackDown host or MC or whatever, and he would go interview people in the crowd, and it was train wreck. You could see that his personality was not charismatic for TV. He was not a guy who commanded attention and respect. He was a guy who was there, pretty much. So when people speak out in defense of The Miz all the time, all I can think of is you're speaking out on a guy. I'll put it this way. I'm not an expert on sports, okay? I'm not the best guy when it comes to talking about sports. But you baseball fans out there, someone who is a fan of baseball, chime in here. Back me up. Hit me up on Twitter, jump into YouTube, on the chat, whatever. Leave a comment on the video if you're watching this, you know, on Thursday, whatever. Baseball, okay? I can remember years ago when it was Nolan Ryan, right? The guy who played, like, hundreds of games, never took a night off. And finally, he said, I'm going to take a day off. He's like, it's finally time to take a rest. I need a break. It's time to, you know, to let that streak of always playing games go. And so I remember I was at a friend's house. He was a big baseball fan. So, of course, he's watching the game. And the game comes on. And they do this thing where, you know, the team, like, came out or whatever. And Nolan Ryan comes out of the dugout. And he takes off his hat. And he, you know, kind of waves to everybody, whatever. And they, you know, make this big deal about the fact that he played these, I don't know, was it 300 games or 400 games, whatever, never took a break. And now he's finally taking a break. And, not being a baseball fan and not really knowing the enormity or the scope of this story, just seeing, you know, what's unfolding here on TV while I'm sitting there, I said something like, oh, you know, he's finally taking a break. That's a thing, you know, good for him, whatever. And the guy I was with said, yeah, good. It's about time. And I'm like, whoa, like, you're upset that he's taking the time off? Or like, he's like, no, I'm happy, because he's not a good player. He's a consistently mediocre player. But he's always out there, and they always have to put him out there because there was this streak that he always plays the games. And that's how I feel about The Miz. Miz is a consistently mediocre performer. He doesn't have matches that blow you away. He doesn't have a personality that makes you want to tune in. He's always there to fill time when you need someone to fill time, and I guess that's his consistency. But that is not the hallmark of a Hall of Famer. You know, that is not the mark of a guy who needs accolades. That's the mark of a guy. That's the mark of Kane. You know, Kane had some awesome stuff for a few years. And then he got older, and big guys like that, tall guys, their bodies start to break down after a while. They take hits a lot differently. They don't recover as well. As they get older, they start to break down. And Kane, from, like, I don't know what, 2003, 2004 to, I guess, last year was the last time he wrestled. I don't think he's wrestled this year at all. He may have come out and, like, thrown somebody over the top rope and then got pinned or something in something random. But, you know, otherwise, you haven't seen Kane. Kane, for the last, you know, 10, 12 years, he's been a consistently there performer. And that is The Miz. That is The Miz's entire career. Even when it was him versus John Cena for the WWE Heavyweight Championship of the World, Miz was consistently present in the match. Not good. Didn't blow you away on promos. But he was there. So that's a thing. And I just don't... I don't like comparing him to someone like Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is a consistent B-plus player. He's not a top-level guy. And maybe he would have the ability to be a top-level guy if it wasn't for the terrible booking in WWE. But he's a much, much better talent by massive degrees than a guy like The Miz. If you remember the gimmick that Dolph Ziggler was given after the Spirit Squad broke up. I mean, we all know the Spirit Squad, and that was kind of awesome. But the Spirit Squad, after that broke up, and there was really no, you know, storyline for a lot of these guys, they said, your name is Dolph Ziggler, and you just say it over and over. And that was his gimmick, is he would walk up to people and shake their hand, and, Dolph Ziggler, I'm Dolph Ziggler. And that was it. That was the whole gimmick, was he said his name over and over. He always introduced himself to people. That was it. That's all they gave him. And yet he was able to turn that into something. It became a narcissistic character. He turned it into the ability to be interesting. Like the fact that he is even there with the gimmick he was given shows you the difference between a guy like Dolph Ziggler and a guy like Heath Slater. You know, Heath Slater has been given some fun gimmicks, but they never really worked in anything. They never became anything. The fact that Dolph Ziggler has been the show off and the show stopper, whatever names he's used over the years, the fact that he was able to build something out of nothing, that shows you the type of talent that he has compared to a guy like The Miz, who's got nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's all I'll say about that. I'll leave it with that. The Hardy Boys retain their belts because WWE still hasn't figured out the rights to deletion. From what I understand, WWE wants to buy the rights to deletion, or at least give the Hardys the ability to buy the rights to it and use it in WWE. So WWE would either own it or they wouldn't owe the Hardys for using it. The Hardys would just be able to use it. Whereas TNA wants to license it. TNA says, we own it. It was developed on our TV. It was developed with our people. It was part of our program, so we own the rights to Brother Nero and deleted Matt Hardy. And if you want to use those, then pay us a fee. And WWE doesn't want to pay TNA to keep them in business so that they can use this gimmick. So they're trying to work out some sort of deal. And here's the thing. When the Hardys came into WrestleMania, broken Matt Hardy was fixed. So broken became fixed, and Matt Hardy now as tag team champion is fine. Until they can get that broken, deleted stuff from TNA, they're going to remain fixed. As soon as they can get those rights, and either they're low enough that WWE is finally willing to capitulate and say, fine, it's cheap enough, here's some money, go away, or they're able to buy the rights outright, until that happens, Matt Hardy's going to be fixed, and they have the titles. As soon as they're able to get that gimmick, then they're going to drop the titles, and suddenly he's broken. And broken, deleted Matt Hardy with Brother Nero is who you're going to see on TV. So if the Hardys lose the titles, that's going to be super, super interesting. That would be the thing to watch out for. I mean, there was some other stuff. Samoa Joe, I'm fine with Samoa Joe. I have no problems with Samoa Joe. I know some people do. But Samoa Joe versus Rollins, something has happened with Rollins. He's lost a lot of his drive that he had a year ago. When he came back from that injury and he was really into something, he really wanted to prove himself, and that has gone away. So I don't know what the deal is with him. He might be... I almost hate to say it, but he might not be long for WWE. And I mean that not in he's going to be gone next Tuesday, but like in 2 years as opposed to like 5 years, you know, unless he can find some spark that gets him back into it. I just really don't see it. And then the House of Horrors match. Oh, my gosh. Like I said, I didn't watch the show, but I know plenty of people who did. And amongst them, my friend Kevin kept texting me throughout the show of just how terrible the match was and how, you know, it's daytime and sunny where the pay-per-view was, but yet wherever they're having this House of Horrors match, it's dark Yet at the end of it, they get in a limo, Bray Wyatt gets in a limo and drives back. And he was just, it was brutal. It was terrible. He actually compared it unfavorably to Booker T versus Stone Cold in the grocery store, which I love that. I thought that was great. He did not, but yeah, that's downright terrible. Now, like I said, I didn't watch the show. I didn't watch the show because I dropped the network. I just don't see the point of paying for it really anymore. I'll probably sign back up for Royal Rumble and watch Rumble through WrestleMania and then drop it again. Yay! Quite honestly. If there's a pay-per-view I want to watch, it's $9.95 and I can watch it for a month, you know? And I can watch that pay-per-view for $10 versus the $40 or $50 or $60 or $70 I would have paid in the past. But honestly, I came to the realization, as much as I was upset with the product that WWE was putting out, it wasn't going to change. It was never going to change. And the reason for that is because WWE, at the point where it's at now, where to me, in my mind, it's at one of the lowest points creatively it's been in a long time. Let me show you this window. Let me go in. Where's my camera control? There it is. WWE really doesn't have any reason to change. And a lot of people would say, well, you know, they need to work on creativity. They need to work on this. They need to work on that. But the truth of it is, they don't need to change. Oh, there's the window. Let's move that. They don't need to change anything because this is their stock. Okay. This is WWE stock right now. WWE stock is profitable. Let me see if I can pull this up a little better. When you look at this stock right now, their stock is at $21.42. And if you look at this bar, you can see right here there was this giant spike where it went up to $30. That was when they were doing the negotiations for the TV rights. And they were talking about how much money they were going to get. NASCAR gets so much money, you know, for doing their TV show. And we're looking like, you know, we're for the same market. We're going to get all this money from our, you know, TV rights and whatever. And the speculation pushed it up and pushed it up and pushed it up and pushed it up. And finally, it got to this, you know, huge $30. Because at the time, it had, before it started going up, it was like at $10. And so suddenly it's at $10 and it's at $15 and it's at $18 and it's at $25 and suddenly it's $30. And then the deal comes in and they realize they weren't getting all the money and it had this huge drop off and it went back down to $11.27. Now, $11.27 was still higher than the $10 it had been at before. $9.24 where it'd been, you know, for a long time. In that range of $8-$9, suddenly it's up at 11, even though it skyrocketed to 30 and then dropped. So it made a whole bunch of money and then dropped a whole bunch of money. It was still higher than it was. And then we see this March and it goes up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. But you can see the trend going up. It is going up the entire time. It may have these fluctuations of up and down and up and down, but the trend is upward. So even now, right now, it's down 1 cent. It is at 21.42. Still, 21.42 compared to the $11 they were when you found out the rights they were getting for TV were not as good. That's a $10 rise over the past couple of years. It's making money. It's profitable. It's more profitable this year than it was last year. It's more profitable last year than it was the year before. So WWE is not going to change. They have no reason to change anything. People who hate John Cena and they hate Roman Reigns and they say WWE needs to stop pushing these guys. WWE is pushing Jinder Mahal and they shouldn't be pushing Jinder Mahal. People like me going, why is The Miz always getting these pay-per-view matches when he's terrible? We're never going to have a voice with this company because the company is making money. There is no reason for them to change anything they've done in the last few years, because all they've done is make money. And that's really tough to fight against. You know, one of the reasons why I got the network in the first place was because they kept buying all these tape libraries and I wanted to watch all this old stuff. Like ECW, I never had cable up until 99, right? Yeah, I didn't have cable from 90, well, I mean, really 96 through 98, I had like the 12 channels, whatever, that I got at college, whatever. But I mean, I really didn't have cable until 99. And even when I had it, I couldn't always get ECW. The Nashville network wasn't picked up by our cable system for a while. And even then I could watch it, you know, a little bit, but you know, you didn't have replays, DVRs weren't a thing. You had to, you know, be there to watch it and you missed it, you know, whatever. And it was on like Friday nights, I think, something like that. So I never really got to see it. So I wanted to go back and watch a lot of that old stuff because I had bought some of the tapes and DVDs over the years. But it, with it all being on the network, like, that's great. I can go watch that. I wanted to watch WCCW. I wanted to watch GWA or GWF. I wanted to watch, you know, all of that, some old WCW stuff. Not just world-class WCCW, but WCW also. And a lot of that stuff never really materialized. They put pockets up, and I've talked about this before, that they put, you know, a few episodes here, a few episodes there, whatever, but not runs of stuff. You never got huge chunks because even though that's what they promised when the network started to roll out, they realized it was a lot cheaper and easier. Yeah, we'll use that word. It's cheaper and easier just to make stuff with the talent they already have on hand, new shows that they can use. They just film it like they're filming the regular TV shows during the hours that they're not filming the regular TV shows, and make shows like Swerved and Ride Along and whatever. They can grab people to do stuff like Camp WWE and Storytime or whatever that one is. And it's cheap to make. It's easy to make. It promotes the characters they already have, and people watch it. I remember it was a big deal for the WWE Network when they got the rights to Total Divas, and then they could play the reruns of Total Divas. I don't watch Total Divas. I don't care about Total Divas. I've seen one episode of Total Divas and three clips, promotional clips that they sent out of that show. The entire time it's been on, that's all I've ever watched. Hated it. Made me hate the Bellas even more. Everything I see on Total Divas about the Bellas makes me not like them personally as people. Okay, I didn't like them as performers, but then seeing how they are in real life makes me respect them even less. And so I am not the demographic they're going after, because that demographic loves this stuff, and they love it to the point that they're happy with the current product, and the current product is profitable, and it just keeps going up. So, I mean, WWE just isn't going to be the product for me. It's just not. It's not heading in the direction I wanted, and there's really nothing I can do about it. So, you know, for the time being, I'm going to tune in. What I've done the last few weeks, honestly, is I DVR'd Raw and SmackDown, and I watch them on fast forward and slow them down when I want to see something. So I'll watch a little bit of this promo. I'll watch this match. I'll watch that match. See where the main event's going, and then sometimes I'll watch all the way through to the end just to see how the main event ends, and then I turn it off, and it takes me about 10 minutes to go through a three-hour show of Raw. And it's, I mean, honestly, it's the best way to watch it nowadays for someone like me, because so much of that is filler and garbage I don't like. So WWE is not going to change. If you hate Roman Reigns and you say, I don't want to see Roman Reigns on TV anymore, stop watching the TV, because it is not going to change. I don't like The Miz. I don't want to see The Miz on TV. It's not that big a deal. I always change the channel or fast forward through whenever he's on. So I never really have to watch it anyway. But that's not going to change, because there's no reason for it to change. Unless he gets some sort of horrific injury, it's not going to change. So WWE will never fix that. So that's what's happening in WWE. So we're going to get to these toys. We're going to get to these mad balls here. We're going to talk about this challenge I was given. Before we hop into that, though, I just real quickly, or I'm not because everything's freezing up. There we go. I just real quickly want to say, don't forget to go to comicofthemonth.club. Use the referral code DIRT to sign up. I've talked about Comic of the Month Club. Find them. This is not a paid sponsorship. They're not paying for this. This referral code does not make me money. I am not going to get a dime from you going and signing up. But I want you to do it because I believe in the company. I believe in what they're doing. They give you a box of comics that you get to personalize by saying, I want these heroes, I want these teams, I want older books or newer books. They have a regular box or a collector's box. They have options. They work with you. They give you the books that you want to read, and they try their best to give you runs. If they're going to give you three books of something, then they want them all to be sequential or at least as close together as they possibly can in their like 10 books that they're going to send you. So go to comicofthemonth.club. Use the referral code DIRT just so they know that I'm talking about them and I'm trying to help them out. Like I said, I'm not getting a single cent if you go there and use my name. But if you do, it lets them know that I'm their friend. I'm helping them out. I'm trying to spread the word. So please do yourself a favor if you like comics. Get into all of that. Now, I'm closing that down because we're going to talk about Mad Balls even more. And I want to say Aaron Winger, and I know it's not Aaron Winger because Aaron Winger is a different kid completely. Aaron Wheeler contacted me because I have talked about Mad Balls a couple times on this show. Some people have they're really in firmly in the camp of one type of Mad Balls or another. And he challenged me. I originally was going to say he begged me, but begged me is not the right term. He challenged me because I have these American Greetings Mad Balls that I've been buying. He challenged me to get some of the Kid Robot ones and do a comparison. To take a look at the Kid Robot ones and compare them to the American Greetings. Now, I love, generally speaking. So I do have a couple of these here. I've got the Slobulus and the Hornhead from the American Greetings line. And I am going to rip these open here real quick and pull these out. And these are, they're basically just big versions of the smaller ones that I've opened before. So if you've seen me on this show talking about the Mad Balls and opening them in the past, let's just for a comparison. Here's the little Slobulus from the blind bag, and here's the big Slobulus that you get. And it is exactly the same. If I can twist it. They're exactly the same. In fact, someone even told me, and this is one of the reasons why they didn't like them, they didn't like these ones, is because they told me that these were sculpted, 3D sculpted in the computer, and then just sent through the machine in order to make them over and over and over again. And so that's why the little one is exactly the same, because they just use the same 3D model. Whereas they say the Kid Robot ones are hand sculpted like the old days, and they look more like the old figures. So you can see, if you look at this, you know, the old ones never had an X over the eyeball. He's got that little modern day, which I could do without that little hair tuft at the top. I'm not a fan of those hairstyles, whatever. But nonetheless, there they are. So I've got these. They're foam. They're like stress balls. If you remember the stress things you have, or if you've ever donated blood, honestly, if you've ever donated blood or platelets, and they give you the thing to hold on to, and you squeeze and let go. You squeeze and let go to get that blood flowing through your arm as you donate blood to somebody else. That's the foamy stuff that it's made with. So I got the Hornhead and the Slobulus. And then as far as the little ones from Kid Robot, we got the insect guy, we got the eyeball, screaming eyeball guy, we got the mummy guy, and we've got the skull skull face, skull head, whatever. So we're going to open. I have two of these blind box keychains and two of these blind box figures. And we're going to open them up and we're going to compare them. I hope there's a Slobulus in these. That's my guy. That's my favorite character. But we're going to compare them. And he wanted me, Aaron, who contacted me, he wanted me to really take a look and compare the two because he feels like this is a much superior product. Now, the difference is this is a $4.99 product, whereas this is a $2.99 product. Okay? This is a, I think this was $9.99. Got the receipt here. These were $9.99 for these boxes, blind boxes. These were also $9.99 for these figures. But the difference is you get to pick these. Now, I know the Kid Robot also makes ones that you can see. They come in like a little mesh bag hanging on a little carter. Anyway. But I can't find any of those. They're sold out. I could buy them online and whatever, but I didn't feel like messing with that. So I bought some of these at retail so I'd have them right here instead of waiting for them to come in through the mail. But the difference is this is blind box for $10. This, you get to pick the one you want for $10. That to me, that's a big difference right there because I want the ones I want. I don't necessarily want all of the other. I don't want Freaky Fullback. I don't necessarily want Swine Sucker or Wolf Breath or Snake Bait or Bruise Brother. I hope there's a Slobulus. That's all I'm saying. So let's open up this blind box keychain. And inside the box, we have a foil envelope. Crinkly, right? There's no way. Now, I just want to double check. On the American Greetings ones, they do have a code stamped on there. So they don't tell you what it is, but if enough people buy them and look through all the codes, you can figure it out. But I do not see a stamped code on here. There is no way. Yeah, there's no way to figure out what you're getting. So, all right. There's a little spot to open it up. And we have Skull. This is Skullface. Is that his name? Yes, Skullface. Okay, so he is modeled after the original Madball, Skullface. And here is the remake of him. So you can get an idea that they are still the same basic idea, except he is pretty much a skull all the way around, whereas this one has like this extra little head, like the brain is its own head growing out of that. But for comparison of the two, you can see that this is modeled after the original one. Now here's the thing, this is hard. This is, this is like hard vinyl. This is very heavy. This is, you know, it's the same squishy. This is like a weapon. Like, honestly, like, put this in your hand. You know, you get into a fight with somebody, get a good grip, and bam, and you can probably hurt somebody with this thing. This is tough. Now, you can see it has a lot more detail than the original Madball. You can see it's got a lot of texture to it. They added a lot of extra dimension to it. And the one thing I will say that's nice is it is a keychain, which is a little, you know, like whatever, but it does have a clip. So you can unclip it from that keychain and actually clip it on somewhere else. So if you want to clip it on like a zipper or something, whatever, you do have that ability to do something else with it besides just using this ring. So there are other options available, but I didn't expect it to be as hard and solid. I don't necessarily like that. I like the squishiness, like the original Madballs, but it does look good. It is a nice look to it. There is a lot of texture to it. And I'll probably, it looks like it's just a eye hook that's stuck into it, making it a keychain. I will probably attempt to unscrew that and turn it back into just a plain ball. I don't know if I can do it now. I'll probably have to grab like pliers or something, but yeah, okay. It's interesting. All right. Come on, Sloppy. Let's open this other one. This other little guy. Crinkly, crinkly, crinkly. Open them up. Open them up. What do we get? Oh, we got the Wolf Man. Wolf head. Wolf breath. Wolf breath, yes. We got wolf breath. So, again, sculpted is nice. A lot of texture, a lot of detail. You can see all the hair has been sculpted. It's not just a flat thing with a few lines in it. They actually put, you know, a fair amount of sculpting into it. Although it's weird, you can see, I kind of noticed the jaw on Skullface looked like it was a different piece put on there. But on the wolf, it's a lot more noticeable that the front and the back are two different pieces. It's almost, actually, it's almost top and bottom in a way. I don't know how well you can see right above my finger there. There's a crease there. There's a cut. There's a crevice. There's some sort of joining. And that goes all the way around. It's two pieces stuck together. And then the mouth is a different piece also that's stuck in there. So it looks like it was actually tooled in a bunch of different pieces so they could get all the different texture. Like if you look at the teeth actually stick out, have a fair amount of, if I move out of the way, we'll focus there. You can see the teeth have a fair amount of detail to them and they're layered on top. So it's a separate piece that sits on top in order to get the layer of the fangs out on there. So that's, I mean, it's a nice looking sculpt. It's just a character I don't necessarily want. And that's the problem with the blind bags. It's not that there's a problem so much with the quality of this. It's just I don't like getting characters I don't know about. All right, so now we're going to take a look at these bigger ones. Now, these are not the same as this. These, with as heavy as they are, like you can feel in your hand, this does not feel like just a big one of these. So whatever these are made out of, these are not made out of the same material. Or if they are, they're at least hollow on the inside. I'm looking again to see if there's anything stamped on the box, but there is not. So there's no way to know what you have. Which again, problem with the blind boxes. And I can feel that it's there, and there's something else in there. So I'm guessing there's a stand that it sits on. And I'm looking for the little notch. There it is. To rip it open. And we got Hornhead. Okay, that's cool. So we can straight up compare the two Hornheads to each other. Now you can see it's a little bit smaller, and it's tough. It doesn't give like this. This squeezes and gives. This has no give to it. It is solid. Well, it's not solid. Actually, it sounds like it's hollow, but it's tough. It's a tough vinyl. It doesn't squish at all. And you can see there is, again, a lot of detail. Now, this is a character. I like Hornhead. Hornhead and Slobulous are my two guys. So taking a look at this comparatively, I can say now that there is a lot more detail on the Kid Robot one. There's a graduation of colors on the horn. It's not just the straight ivy. They've painted the stitches across his face with a lot more detail. The hair is sculpted with a lot more detail. They've also done, it's almost like a dry brushing along his nose and mouth to make things stand out more. And this version of Hornhead is much more like just a monster, like a monster movie type of creature. Whereas this version of Hornhead looks more like a hairy cyclops beast. This is much the American Greetings one is much cartoonier, much cartoonier. That's yeah, sure, that works. Much more cartoony than the Kid Robot one. The Kid Robot one definitely has more of an actual display piece look to it. And I'm going to open up this little stand. There's a little stand that comes with it. And I hope I don't drop this. Okay. And this stand, I lost my window somewhere. There it is. There's a little stand that comes with it. It's kind of a clear bottom, translucent bottom, and then it's got a painted top there. And your Madball sits on it right like that. So that is neat. I mean, I got to tell you, for being a character I like, I really wish, you know, I hope I get a Slobulus in the other one. But Slobulus and the Hornhead are my two go-to dudes. And that is nice. That's a nice looking guy. So I got to give him credit for that. Now this, though, like I said, this is the same price as this. This one's much bigger. And it's squishy. I like the squishy. But that's probably because of the paint apps. If with as little detail as this has, it being squishy is no big deal. This one, because of the detail that's on it, if it was squishy, the paint would probably crack and peel off. So that is a trade-off between the two. This is one you might actually play with. This is one this is for display on your shelf. All right. So we've got one more of these to open, and then we will get to our Masters of the Universe Loyal Subjects figures here. But all right, so let's open this guy. More crinkly, crinkly. And there's the nut. And the dangers of the blind bag once again rear their ugly head. And I got Bruise Brother, which is, I don't know if he's supposed to be football or, I don't know, he's got horns. Maybe he's supposed to be some sort of Viking guy with bullet holes. I'm not sure what it is. Sculpted well. I mean, it looks nice. You can see there's a fair amount of detail on there. Again, the paint apps. It's an ink wash. That's what it is. He's sculpted with hair all over his face, and there's an ink wash. It's not a dry brushing. It's an ink wash in order to give some depth to the cracks on his face. I'm not a fan of the character. I'm not a fan of the look of it. It is a little weird when you look at one of the things about, you know, some of these figures. For instance, there's a skull and crossbones on the side of his helmet. Okay, cool, whatever. Except they're raised. See how they're raised like that? Why would he have a sculpted skull and crossbones? Like, that should be flat. That should be more of a paint application issue than something actually sculpted on there. It's, you know, it's a judgment call, whatever, if you're going to put it on there. But you can see, you know, because of the detail, they put these slashes in his head. You can see they're painted. Again, there's an ink wash to give it some depth, but then you can see there's two more gashes here. There we go, because everything's backwards with the camera setup. But you can see they didn't put any detail into those. So there's two sitting there that are unpainted that have nothing really to them. They just have a little bit of the ink wash because the whole thing got some apparently, but they don't have the same paint apps. So that's a little weird. I mean, it's a nicely sculpted figure. It's just not the one I want. So I paid $10 basically to get a character that I don't care about. That's why I hate these blind box things. So, I mean, getting the skull face one was kind of okay. The horn head I'm happy with, but I'm not happy that I spent essentially $30 to get one miniature Madball version of a character I like. Like, again, it's sculpted nice, but the blind box thing just... And I'm getting ready to open two more blind boxes here with Masters of the Universe. So, all right. I think that's going to be it for Madballs. I might go online now and buy a Slobulus just to complete the collection. Honestly, I'll probably give this away. If there's someone who wants it, let me know. Oh, yeah, of course, you'll take it. You don't even know what I have. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He still wants it. All right. Now, these, what I'm running to next are the new Loyal Subjects Masters of the Universe figures from Target. This is Wave 2. This has the Filmation, well, I say Filmation Skeletor. That's what I call it. Mini Comic Beastman, Trapjaw, Teela with the Snake Staff, Mini Comic Manny Faces, Mini Comic Stratos, Classics, Man-at-Arms, and the Mini Comic He-Man. Rare figures, Gold He-Man, Fake Ore, Blood Metallic Skeletor, Slime Pit He-Man, Triclops from the mini comic. Okay, so honestly, looking through all the ones that are available, and again, this is the danger with Blind Box. I don't really want the Beastman. Teela with the Snake Staff, I don't want, but I know people who do. So, I mean, I can always give that one away pretty easily. Stratos is a character I never really cared much about. But the Manny Faces, the Man-at-Arms, He-Man, Skeletor, Trapjaw, I'm fine with all of those. Now, as far as the chase figures go, Gold He-Man, I don't really care. Slime Pit He-Man. I like Triclops. The Fake Ore, the Blood Metallic Skeletor, the Slime Pit He-Man, I like those just because they're palette swaps. And again, the Triclops is a palette swap for the mini comic. But the Fake Ore and the Blood Metallic Skeletor would actually be the two I'd want more. I'd want them more than the Gold He-Man. There's only one Gold He-Man, apparently, in all that they made. There's a Club 28 Slime Pit He-Man, which means there's only 28 of them out there. But honestly, I'd rather have a Fake Ore or the Blood Metallic Skeletor than either of those. So, but anyway, I'll open these. And like I said, even if they're ones that I don't want, I know people who do want them. So that's not that big of a deal. And I've never actually bought any of these before. I saw the Wave 1 ones, but again, the Blind Box thing. I only bought these because there was an unopened case at Target. So I grabbed the two back corners because that's what you do with Blind Boxes. And I was doing the other Blind Boxes anyway, so I figured, what the heck, we'll throw these on there and see if anything interesting happens. So we will open our first one here. We will see, and I've seen people, you know, on Facebook, I'm in these groups, you know, like Lucky Legends, and Masters of the Galaxy has a Facebook page, Fans of Power, and people will go to Target and they'll buy, like, the entire case. And take them home. And I'm watching people do this, and I'm like, I'm not that level of fan. I am level of fan that I'll at least try it. So, just like with the Kid Robot, we got a crinkly foil bag here. And we will rip it open. Oh, wow! Okay, I got Mini Comic Triclops. So there you go. Apparently, pulling the back corners does make a difference. So we got the mini comic color variation Triclops. The redeco comes with the sword here. And a little card. Mini comics, Triclops mini comics, wears a three-eyed helmet. One of the eyes can telescopic night vision. Okay, whatever. So, all right, that's cool. He's a one in whatever. He's a one in 24. So, all right. So I got the Triclops. That's cool. Okay. There'll at least be a couple people jealous about that later. Let's open the other one. See what we got here. In the bag. And we got Teela. All right. So there is Teela. In her charactery goodness. And there's the snake staff, which was a very important deal for a lot of people. Get that snake staff with Teela. So, Teela, not the one I wanted. But, you know, like I said, no people who will want it. The Triclops I'll keep. I will keep him. But the Teela, I'm going to let go. to somebody who wants to give it a better home. So, all right, guys, that's going to do it for me today. It is 10:30. We have to go help somebody move. He moved this weekend. He's got a few things left. And I never even got to coffee because I ran out and did stuff. So I'm drinking one of these Monster Energy Zero Ultra. Zero calorie, zero sugar. At least it's not zero taste, honestly. It's not bad. It's like an orangey citric acid. Carbonated water and citric acid are the first two ingredients. And yeah, it tastes like an orangey lemon thingy. So not bad. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me. Thanks for watching. Don't forget, if you want to leave a voicemail message, you can call our 24-hour voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. Don't forget to say your name. Because when you leave the message and you don't say who you are, I can't really shout out to you, but thanks for listening. Also, you can find me on Twitter at @PCN_dirt. You can find me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/VG losers, video game losers. That was the whole site originally that spawned into popculturenetwork.com. So you can find me on Facebook there. You can send me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com. That's going to do it for me, guys. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time.